for Sweet Home Cannabama, a show that'll answer all your questions, provide accurate information, and dispel the myths of CBD. You can participate and have your specific questions answered by emailing sweethomecannabama.com. And now for all things cannabis in Alabama, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Hey, welcome to the show, everybody. I'm Jennifer Boozer, your host. I am the owner of Cannabama, the CBD store here in Mobile. We are located at 558 St. Francis Street in downtown Mobile, and also in West Mobile at 2090 Schillinger Road South, Suite K, right past Pete's Party Castle. So I just want to say that Miss being here last week kind of had a little fire to put out and had to cancel at the last minute, so I appreciate people bearing with me. You know, things happen. Anyway, tonight we're going to be talking to Ryan Morris from one of our biggest brands at Cannabama and one of our biggest supporters, Curative CBD. Ryan is from Alabama, and he lives in California, and he makes our favorite gummies, our favorite tinctures, several other products that we really, you know, our customers can't get enough of. And I have gotten the privilege of getting to know him over the last year or so, and he's a really great guy. So I know you're going to look forward to hearing from him. I just want to say that, you know, as we get closer and closer to Christmas, you know, one of the things that we can help you give someone that you love is the gift of relief. Whether you have someone in your life who suffers with pain, anxiety, insomnia, you know, lots of things that we have great products for, we're more than happy to help you find something that will work for them and give them something special, maybe that they can't afford for themselves or that they aren't sure about, and getting it as a gift would give them the opportunity to do that. So I want to welcome Ryan Morris to the show. Welcome, Ryan.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. I know it's a weird time difference over there. Most of the people that I talk to are in your time zone.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, everybody is from Oregon, or Colorado's a little bit less extreme, but yeah, everybody's from that side of the country. Well, I want to get into this. So we always like to know who we are working with, who makes our products, so that we can understand what goes into the care and the concept of the different products that we offer people. So I just want to start off by asking you to tell us a little bit about yourself, and how you got into the CBD industry.
Okay. Well, again, thanks for having me. I'm very happy to be here, and love the show, what you're doing to get the word out and everything like that. And,
thank you.
You know, like you mentioned, we've gotten to know each other over the year, and I'm in awe at how knowledgeable you are, and you know, for the people that are listening, Jennifer does not put a brand in her store until she does a thorough research on it. So if you walk into that store or one of those two stores in Mobile, you know that she has made sure that she's putting quality on the shelves, and the fact that you brought us in is an honor. You know, that just it kind of confirmed our belief that we are bringing a premium product. So we love working with you, and again, just thanks for having us on the show tonight.
Well, that is so sweet. Thank you for saying that. And you're really good at asking for feedback and hearing what we have to say about what we're seeing with the public, because, you know, most of the companies that we work for or work with, they don't have brick and mortar stores where they're face to face with the public every day. And so to be able to work with someone like you making the products who values what we have to say about, here's where we think we can improve, or can you come up with something like this, or let's try this. And it's really nice to feel like we're heard. And the latest thing is the 5-serving sample stuff that you made for us. Well, on my suggestion, I think. No, you didn't make it just for us, but man, our customers love those because it's a smaller price point. It's a less scary thing, and they always come back for the bigger ones because it is such a good product that in a couple of servings, they know it's good.
Right, and what you just said right there, you know, me personally, if I was new to, you know, CBD and I was thinking about trying something, I wouldn't necessarily want to spend $80 or $100, you know, on something that I haven't tried. So that product and just about every product we have, and we started with a tincture, but most of it came from people like you and giving us feedback. So I think that's invaluable for any company out there. You got to listen to your customers, you know, and if you're saying that people are asking for this or that.
Right, you know, because we're hearing it from our customers.
Say it again?
Yeah, we're hearing it from our customers and passing that information on to you to say, hey, you know, here's where we can do something different that, you know, we're hearing repeatedly. And I know for me, I have always done single serving samples because I appreciate the fact that it is not, you know, 25 cents. It's expensive. And it's a foreign concept. And there's so much lack of information, bad information, stigma. It's a lot to overcome for most people. And to be able to buy a small quantity and try it, you know, I've been criticized by people saying, you know, what can one serving do? Well, if your product's good and you teach people how to use it right away, it only takes one. And so we're super happy to be able to offer that. And the five servings are great because it does give you the opportunity to use more than one serving. And you guys have a way of packaging it and labeling it that we don't have. And so it's much easier and it looks nice.
Good. Yeah, that's, you know, that's what we're kind of in this so that everybody wins, you know, because if something's working for you, something's working for your customers, you know, and it just, it's good. It benefits everybody, you know, so we're so happy that those are.
Yeah, absolutely. I keep the five servings. I keep a couple in my bag at all times because everywhere I go, I'm, you know, I look at the entire world through the lens of who needs CBD within 5 feet of me. And so I give waiters and waitresses pre-rolls with their tip, and I've given many of the five serving gummies and the tinctures away because it's a small enough price point that it doesn't hurt too badly, and it gives people an opportunity to say, okay, well, I haven't been able to get into a store or I haven't really been brave enough, but here's something and it's free. And it's something that, you know, doesn't break the bank for me, and it gives them a good experience. We get a lot of good response, and we do get some customers from it.
Amazing.
You never know where you're at. Somebody getting out of their car to pump gas, and they can hardly move, and, you know, I'm like, well, we can't let this happen.
You're like a CBD messiah of the South.
I think most people would think that's extreme. I'm like the crazy CBD lady. That's more accurate. Yes, I know. I always joke around my husband. I'm sure he's listening. Can we please talk about something else?
Oh, yeah. Tell me about it. Yeah.
I'm sure your wife can relate.
Yeah. I mean, especially when you first get into the business, you know, it's just you've got so much to take in, and that's all you just live in and breathe it, you know.
It's exciting.
It can wear on your spouse. Yes,
absolutely. I agree with that. Yes, yes. If I stop to think about it, I always just tell myself I don't really hang out with my friends anymore because I'm too busy. But really, it's probably a little bit because I'm the crazy CBD lady. So tell us how you kind of transitioned from whatever you were doing. I don't think I know what you did before this into CBD. And when we come back from the break in about 3 or 4 minutes, we can get into that some more. But what were you doing? How did you get into it?
Well, you know, I didn't know it at the time, but it was kind of like the perfect storm. I had a business at that before that was failing. It was going under, and I was talking about every week. I was talking to a good friend of mine, a guy that I've known for 10 years. He deserves a shout out on this show, Alex.
Alex, yes.
You know, yeah, and you
the
know,
grooviest grower in all the land.
If you meet this guy once, you're never going to forget him.
You're right.
he's a wonderful, you know, unique person, and you know, I owe Curative success a lot of it in part to him, you know. He called me up, and you know, I told him, I said, look, we're probably gonna have to close this thing down. I don't know what, you know, I think that my son was 1.5, 2 at the time, you know, and he said you should really look into CBD, you know, and he had been growing cannabis in Colorado for a few years. And I knew that this guy, when I say that he knows his plants, I mean, he is just a botanist at heart. I mean, he can tell you every molecule, every, you know, he'll go on and on for hours about,
right,
about plants. And he was doing an all organic farm, hemp farm, and he was getting into the CBD. He was transitioning from cannabis over to CBD. And, you know, he told me that, and I kind of said, yeah, you know, I'll look into that. My wife came home. It was actually that same week, which was kind of, it was almost like fate. You know, she comes home with a bottle of this stuff that somebody had given her. She had struggled with anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Probably since she met me, it's probably my fault. Being married to me will give you anxiety, I guess. But, you know, she came back with this little bottle of stuff, and she said, you know, this is supposed to help with cancer and anxiety and pain and yada, yada, yada. And my first response was,
yeah, right.
Yes. Yeah. Like, this is somebody selling you snake oil. This is, you
right.
know, there's nothing, it's too good to be true.
Right.
But she started trying it, and it was, I think it was Lazarus Naturals. You know, it was somebody gave her half a bottle, and it started helping her. I started trying it, and then I started noticing, hey, my, you know, I'm sleeping a little better. I'm feeling a little less anxious. And, you know, factor that with what, you know, Alex had said, you know, he needs some help
right.
on his end, you know, starting this business. I started kind of diving into this rabbit hole online.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
TV.
It is a rabbit hole.
Yeah. I mean, it was 2 weeks. I was on the computer in every waking hour just, you know,
right.
researching and like trying to find a reason not to do this.
Exactly. Because you know, like, hey, you're like, man, this could be so great.
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be some hole that I'm seeing. I can never find that hole, and you know, and I talked it over to the wife, and you know, my business partner Bob. You know, I called him up and I said, you know, we should look into making a brand, and it kind of just snowballed from there. I mean, we came out with one product to start. We spent weeks on the formulation, making sure that it's gonna. That we have it exact, and that it's
right.
got the best, you know, materials, ingredients that we could find, and then we just started walking in the stores with it, and it was a success almost overnight. And we couldn't, you know, we were kind of blown away. And
right.
I think,
and you use Alex's plants, right?
I'm sorry,
Alex farms for you, right?
Yes, yes. So, and that, you know, we didn't know that at the time either. But you know, I think part of our success was the plant that went into that extract.
Right, it matters.
It has so much to do with
Alex's
the end product.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Well, when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about Curative and share my first experience with it. And so we'll be back in just a minute.
To Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome back, everybody. We're talking to Ryan Morris of Curative CBD, an Alabama native who is now in California making high-quality CBD products. And he uses hemp grown by his buddy Alex, who I have met and have gotten some really great selfies from. He's a really great guy, and it's funny, Ryan, because I can't imagine the two of you hanging out. Just if you go on looks alone, because Alex is so comfortable in his own skin, and he definitely looks like a cannabis farmer.
You know, like Alex, the way I sum him up is that guy could walk into a room full of Russian mobsters or a room full of nuns, and he would make best friends with
absolutely
either room. I mean,
yep.
He can get along with anybody.
Yes,
you know.
I'm so glad I got to meet him in Nashville in September, and now there's a third one, Chris. And Chris is here, and he's the one who walked into my store about a year ago and brought me this box of stuff, and he was kind of shy, and he was like, hey, you know, my friend makes these products, my other friend grows the hemp that makes the products, and would you be willing to try this? And we did, and that was the beginning of the end.
It just kind of went from there.
Yeah, yeah, because I had actually only found one other gummy. People love gummies. Gummies, it's a personal thing, you know, and so much of them are terrible tasting and not very effective. And some of them rely heavily on melatonin, and some of them don't have CBD at all. So to be able to find a THC-free gummy that tasted great and that was very potent was a huge win for us, because we had an unreliable source for a pretty decent one, but I hadn't found any that were as strong as those. And so it's basically, to me, it's more for their money. And people love them. People swear by them. We sell individual ones. We sell the 15 count and the 25 count, and I love the variety that you have. And so that was sort of the clincher, because, you know, I had had tinctures and all these other things, but the gummies were what drew me in. To be able to provide something like that, that was such high quality for my customers, and it just kind of snowballed from there.
Well, I love to hear that. I love hearing that they were an initial or immediate success for you, and like we talked about a few minutes ago, that the gummies were something that you know, we brought onto the product line because customers were asking. You know, we just kind of followed what do people want? You know, what are people looking for? And then once we have that info, then we just say, well, let's make the best possible product that we can.
Lots and lots of companies make gummies, but I only sell two brands, and yours is the main brand that I sell. And the only reason I sell more than one is because I sell a full spectrum product line that has three kinds of gummies. And that's the only reason I have any other gummies besides yours, because some people do prefer full spectrum, but a lot of people cannot use them. Yeah, I keep a thing of gummies on me too. People love them. When I go to football games and soccer games at the high school, all the moms are like, hey, you got any gummies?
They come looking for you.
Yeah. They know I have goods.
You got the goods.
Well, yes.
We may be working on a broad spectrum or a full spectrum gummy. Come out maybe spring next year. I mean, it's not in concrete yet, but we are working on some new products, and that's one of them that's high on the list.
That is very exciting. Well, and I know the kids, my assistant Allison, her little girl loves the gummies. She wants a gummy every time she walks in the door. Yeah. She likes the watermelon.
If we had to just have one, it'd probably be those.
Those are my favorite.
30 of those before you know it.
Exactly. Tell us about what your sort of vision is for Curative, what your mission is, or your mission statement. You know, what is your goal for the future as far as your impact on the industry? And tell us a little bit about your standards.
Okay. Well, you know, our slogan, which is also, I guess you could call it our mission statement, you know, relief starts here. And we want to wake up in the morning and know that we're helping people, you know. And I think, you know, obviously we're a for-profit business, you know, but we don't want to just go out there and make money. I mean, we want to know that we're making a difference, or we're making an impact. And, you know, as we grow, we want to start doing more community outreach, kind of like when you brought us Angie's house. I mean, that made us feel so good that we were able to provide those ladies with some relief.
I was going to bring that up as soon as you got done with your sentences. I was going to bring up.
I didn't mean to.
No. I was just going to say that. You're for profit. We're for profit. But I was going to say, sure, you're for profit, and we are for profit. But my main motivation is to be able to give back as much as possible. I can't afford to put all those products on the wall and pay the rent and the employees by myself. I can't afford that. I'm a regular old middle class soccer mom. But being able to generate income gives me the ability to give back. But I just want to say, we've had donations for products for Angie's House from several brands, but you guys have been by and far the most generous. And I just want to tell you publicly that we appreciate that. I know the girls appreciate it. Danny and Danielle appreciate it. And you have touched some people in a way that I hope you'll get to hear from the girls personally someday, because it just blows my mind when they talk about how well they're doing so soon into their sobriety. So sure, we're for profit, but that allows us to be able to do things like that and change people's lives.
Well, thank you for saying that. I mean, I appreciate that there are organizations like that that are so selfless and it's really inspirational, you know, that and any little small part that we can do to contribute,
right,
you know, we're all for it. You know, we're going to actually get another package out to them this week. It's on the docket, so tell them to look forward to it.
Thank you so much.
Kids.
Y'all are so consistent and so considerate, and we never have to, you know, say, hey, we ran out. You guys are, as soon as they're, like, getting low, here comes another box, and you have no idea.
Well, if you run out, you come yell at me, okay? So
I want to
make sure that doesn't happen.
I will. I'm saving it up. just to complete the thought before the next break, what are you, hoping to do from here on out with the brand and in the industry?
Well, you know, it's all happened so fast, you know, it's until you ask that.
Right.
I haven't really had a chance to think about it, but, you know, I guess in a nutshell, we would love to just be a name in anybody who's interested in CBD or could benefit from it. We would like to be an option, and we want to be a trusted brand, you know, and that's
right,
and that doesn't come cheap, you know.
Mm-mm.
I mean, we want, you know, we make sure that if we're putting something out there, that I would give it to my mother, my brother, my son, my daughter,
right,
you know, and be able to sleep at night. So, you know, that's really what we're aiming for, is to have, you know, a brand that people can trust, people can rely on, that's consistent. And I think that makes us a success at the end.
Absolutely. I mean, if at the end of the day you can feed your family and you can help other people change their lives, I mean, what more is there to have out of life?
That's the dream.
That is the dream. I tell people all the time, it's the only way I could ever work this hard. I could never do it for something mundane. And it gives you a sense of reward like nothing I've ever experienced. When we come back, we're going to continue with Ryan from Curative CBD.
To Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We're talking to Ryan Morris of Curative CBD, and we were just talking about, sort of the motivation that he and I share in the industry and why we do what we do. So, Ryan, you are from here, but you live in California. So I'm sure that there's endless differences, and I'd like to hear sort of what your perspective is on the trends in CBD and the industry on the West Coast versus the East Coast, and then maybe a little more specifically in the Southeast where we are. Hello?
You know, the market out here is obviously a little more mature than on the East Coast because of the legalization
of
cannabis. You know, there's dispensaries out here, and people in general are more open to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that we were seeing. You know, Alex and Chris were coming back and saying they would send me price sheets, and they would say, these are the brands that are out here trying to sell, and it was ridiculous. You know, mm-hmm. like I could see that people were trying to take advantage of y'all out there, and me being from Alabama,
they still are. They still are. Trust me. I see people who I guess would be considered my colleagues, and I get very upset. I'll just mm-hmm. leave it at that and let you finish.
Well, I mean, it was, you know, we saw an opportunity from a business standpoint to get some products out there at what I've called, you know, California prices, you know, because one of our kind of things in the very beginning was like we wanted to have a product that was premium, but we're not gouging people for it. You know, we're not
right.
we're not price gouging. We're not selling it for an outrageous, you know, amount of money. We want everybody to be able to,
right.
to afford it.
Accessible and affordable.
You know, and that's what we were seeing on the East Coast was, you know, there was a lot of people selling stuff for way high, and I didn't know a lot of the brands that were coming back. Not saying that they were all bad, but even out here, when we started 18 months ago, we would walk into a store and we would pick up a bottle of CBD in a health store or something like that, and it we would ask about it, and they would say, well, you know, it sells okay. You know, that was kind of the general consensus, and of course,
right.
it matured a lot in 18 months. But you know, there was a lot of people just making a quick buck, even out here. And I was like, if that's happening in California, you know, because
yeah.
it was so unregulated, then I
right.
know it's probably 10 times worse in Alabama. You know, so
oh yeah,
we want to get our products everywhere. We want to get it, you know. We want to get out there to where people may not have the same access to CBD as they do here.
Right.
And it's kind of taken off. You know, I mean, it's doing very well in your region, and we love that.
Yeah. I saw the same thing, because the first product that I tried, it was very hard to get, extremely expensive. Mm-hmm. You had to wait for it for a week and pay all the shipping and stuff and sign up for automatic shipments and stuff like that, and there was so little information. It was very frustrating, and
yeah.
I saw the need for education and for access and for affordability, and that was what drove me, because I knew that there was no way people were going to go for this the way that it was. And
yeah.
and it was such a huge hurdle at the time. And so that when I went ahead and started my business long before anybody else kind of ventured out, it was because I knew that there was a huge, huge need, but I wanted to be one of the ones who started the standard of being educational and started teaching classes before I even had anything to sell, because I knew that if people could understand it, they could use it well. And they would understand its value and know how to find good products, because they aren't all that expensive. And we work really hard at that. And all of our products are well below the industry average. But that was the thing, you know. I mean, having the ability to vet a brand takes a lot of skill and knowledge. And the average consumer is not going to put in the effort, and they're going to have a bad experience, and they're not going to understand why, or they're going to write it off. Or they're going to overpay. It kills me to see products that are 15 cents a milligram and mm-hmm. low potency. And, you know, how in the world could anybody afford at this rate? You'd have to take 5 droppers or something, and, you know, it'll cost you hundreds more a month than if you had a better quality product that was priced fairly. And your products have always given us the ability to charge well below the industry standard, and you know, my goal was 10 cents a milligram and nothing more. But some of the products that I sell from you, because of the price you give to me, I know my 6,000 milligram I think is 4.5 cents a milligram, and that makes me proud to be able to offer that for people who have more severe needs or who have multiple family members, as a way to save money and get what they need.
Right. And you know, from a business standpoint, we don't want to sell a bottle one time. You know,
right.
we could charge $300 and maybe make a sale or two, but we want people to get that quality and come back again and again,
right.
and be able to trust in that and that brand and that product. So
right, you know, and well, and even if they know that it works and it's great and they want to use it, if they can't because they can't afford it, then what are we doing? You know, what are we doing?
Yeah,
there may be times where people come in and all they can afford is that five servings, but it's going to get them through the week until they get paid, or it's going to give them the ability to expose someone to it that they want to expose to it without, you know, interrupting their budget and not, you know, on the chance that whoever they give it to wouldn't be willing to try it. So having those, the vast sizes and servings, all that stuff, the different potencies, and every time you guys' quality is so consistent and people count on it, and, you know, we have people that only only want yours. They don't want to try anything else.
Well, I love that.
Yeah. And you do, you guys also have probably a wider variety of individual products than most brands that we see. So, you know, all of our animals love the chicken jerky. The
never
chicken jerky
a
is
dog
so fun.
Didn't like a chicken jerky.
Right. And we like to bag up individual jerky treats and sell them singles or give them away because we know the owners, you know, if they want to know that it's a quality product that their dog will not waste, and they never let us down. They like to eat them in the store. We like to invite people to bring their animals into the store, and we always have a good time. But yeah, the chicken jerky is a big hit.
Love hearing that.
Yeah.
You know, and I think I kind of said at the beginning of the show, but, you know, and I've told you this, but I think, you know, you've got something unique in your store that not everybody has, and that's the fact that, that you stand behind everything in there, and that you have so much knowledge and are so enthusiastic about helping people, you know. And so when you worry about your competition and stuff like that, I want you to just kind of take a step back and say, they don't have what I have. They don't have your you make that store what it is. You make those stores what it is, you know, so you're in a good spot, you know.
Yeah.
I don't even want you to remember that.
Well, I appreciate that. And you know, once I clean up my feelings about something, you know, kind of get over my emotional reaction, I do get some pretty harsh criticism from having so many brands to choose from, so many options. And the favorite thing to say is, how can they know everything about their products? Do they even know where they're come from? Do they know what's in them? And I know. It makes me laugh because I'm like, really? We're going with that? Because I work so hard to know. And before it hits that shelf, I can tell you everything about it off the top of my head. I've tried it, put it in my own body, you know, and I know what it is. And I would never, ever put something out that I did not believe was the highest quality. And so, you know, at the end of the day, you're right. I do have something that you can't just buy. And there's no shortcut. The way that I do it is the hard way, and it's the only way, if you ask me. I just heard a very careless radio commercial the other day. I was getting out of the car, and of course, anytime I hear a commercial for another business, I'm curious to see what everybody's doing, because maybe I'm doing it wrong and they're doing it right. But the commercial claimed that that their business was 100% THC free, and I know for a fact that they sell flower products. And it's incredibly dangerous when you say things like that to draw people in and make them feel safe, but you're still giving them products that could make them fail a drug test. And you're talking about people's livelihoods. You're talking about people's freedom sometimes. And I can't even imagine what would motivate someone to make such a statement and still be selling raw flower products. And it just goes to show you what people's motives are, because they want people to not be afraid and come in because, hey, nothing in here will make you fail a drug test, and it's flat out wrong, and it's infuriating. I wish that some people would focus more on being accurate and truthful and not be worried about what we're doing.
Yeah, I mean, it's a shame the amount of misinformation out there, you know, and one kind of, you can take solace in the fact that, you know, a lot of these, they end up weeding themselves out, you know.
Right.
And this industry being so young still, unfortunately, there are a lot of those types of players in it,
right,
still, but, you know, the consumer in the end makes a choice, you know. And
that's
and
right. And sometimes they make the choice to not give it a chance because of people like that. And that's what's frustrating to me, because they either get a, you know, a sketchy vibe, or they look into it, hopefully, before they hurt themselves by using something that will make them fail a drug test, or they actually get hurt. I mean, can you imagine going into a business where they've sworn up and down that you can pass a drug test, and you fail a drug test, and you're on probation, and you go to jail? I mean, can you imagine sitting in jail over that? That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's the first thing we ask at Cannabama. What, I don't care what product you're coming in to look at. Do you drug test? And I've had lots of people that want me to say, oh, sure, you can do it, you'll be fine. And I'm like, I will never tell you that. I will not, because I won't be the one to be the reason that you lose your job or you lose your freedom, because it's not worth that.
Yeah, you don't want that over your...
No.
Head.
There's the industry is its own worst enemy, and I wish that more people had integrity. But that's okay. That's why we work as hard as we do, and we do it day in and day out, 7 days a week, because somebody's got to do it the right way.
Fight the good fight.
That's right. And sometimes it is a complete war. When we come back, we're going to finish our last segment with Ryan, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the last segment of tonight's show. We're talking to Ryan Morris of Curative CBD. Ryan, what do you think the future of CBD and, you know, cannabis in general, you know, legal cannabis is?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that
very
last part.
What in your opinion is the future of CBD and hemp, you know, cannabis, other cannabinoids, you know, all the different components of the plant that we're using now? What do you think the future looks like?
Well, my hope is that it's one day as common as, you know, taking two aspirins or a vitamin, you know, I guess a vitamin's probably a better.
Right, vitamin C.
Yeah, I mean, I, you know, when it gets to that point, you know, I think that would be a win just for humanity. You
right.
know, I mean, it's,
absolutely.
You know, you and I are kind of living and breathing this world where we see the immense benefits that they're finding, and they're finding new ones every day.
Right.
But yeah, I hope that it's, you know, long term, that it's a just a household staple. You know?
Right, right. Well, like it used to be, you know, where, you know, the states were, or the colonies were required to grow a certain amount, and you could use it to pay your taxes.
You know,
the founding fathers were hemp farmers.
It's insane that we got so far away from that, you know. And
yeah, absolutely.
And I'm sure I see you're great about posting stuff on Facebook. I love all the articles, but, you know, I see them all the time on, like, they're building houses out of hemp, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You got boxes and bottles made out of hemp, you know, and it's such a renewable resource, even if you're not even talking about the medicinal benefits,
right.
You know, I think it's just a...
Right.
It's
the
exciting.
Sustainability
it's
of
exciting
it
what
is exciting.
Be.
You know, I was watching a TED Talk last night that I shared on the Facebook page about, you know, it for 1 acre of paper made from hemp, it takes 4 acres of trees, and hemp grows to maturity in, what, 120 days, and trees take decades. And, you know, we have a finite amount of resources, and anything that is sustainable and that easy to continue to perpetuate is a no-brainer to me.
It's a crime that we're not making more stuff out of hemp, you know, and
right.
it's just so paradoxical that, you know, that it's been on the fringes for so long, but it does, you know, it does seem like it's making exponential progress, you know, as far as being accepted, you know, and more
right.
politicians are coming around to it. You know, it's unfortunate that you know, we got to wait for laws for this and that, but, you know,
right.
slowly but surely it seems like it's moving in the right direction, so we're
right.
we're optimistic.
Well, I think that in some ways, especially in states like this, we do have a lot of ground to cover. But I think anybody who wants to learn, it's not hard to learn. You know, I'd be happy to teach just about anybody. And I'm still learning. There's so much. But the potential of what we can do with it is absolutely incredible. I have, like, legit detailed fantasies about having the first hemp house in Alabama. Like, I put so much thought into it. I'm talking about the flooring planks that they're making in Kentucky and the hempcrete, you know, walls and hemp insulation and hemp air filtration systems. And, oh, yeah, please. I can see, like, curtains and sheets, the whole nine. I would absolutely, that's died and gone to heaven to me. That's my dream house. That with a big bathtub for all the bath bombs.
Yeah, you could rebuild Canabama just completely out of hemp.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, well, I had,
that
yes.
That would be amazing.
When I first was opening the downtown store and trying to figure out what I would do for a big counter, I thought, how cool would it be to make a counter out of hempcrete bricks, you know, with like a wooden top? That would be so cool. But there's no telling where I would have gotten something like that. But someday. I think that I'm looking forward to it not being a buzzword, it not being, you know, seeming to be a fad. I'm really looking forward to sort of the turn that's coming, legitimizing it. Because Prohibition needed the information age. You know, they did such a thorough job with propaganda that we're still fighting it now with all of the information and experiences and anecdotal evidence and research. People still think the wrong things on the whole. And then they dismiss it thinking, oh, well, this will just go over like, you know, keto or something. People will talk about it and flame out and that'll be it. But, you know, they don't really fully believe the rich human history that we have of eating it and using it as medicine for 10,000 years, you know. So I look forward to people, you know, being fully educated and accepting it for, it's a food source. It's something our bodies are made to use. We can't live without it and be healthy.
I don't think it's a fad at this point. You
oh,
know,
no.
I, when we first got into it, I'm like, God, I hope I'm not getting to a business and this is a fad, even though
no.
it was helping me and everybody I knew. But, you know, I kind of feel like if this was a CBD was a fad, it would be over by now, you know.
Right.
And,
right. It's not cost effective, you know, enough.
Yeah. And, you know, they've got, you know, you've got some big money that's coming into the industry, which is good
right.
and bad.
Right.
You know, but the more and more that they research this stuff, you know, they're finding new cannabinoids, you know, these very, very minor cannabinoids, and something
oh, yeah.
in there might be a cure for a disease, you know. It's
right.
There's so much potential out of this plant. I mean, it's
right. Well, and from everything that I've read and seen and heard, it's the most bioavailable superfood known to man. Like, there's not a single plant on the face of the planet that we know of that is more usable and more beneficial to the human body than cannabis.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not a fad. That's not a coincidence. It's a very purposeful design. You know, we don't have opiate. We don't have, you know, a Zoloft system. We don't have
yeah.
a Wellbutrin system or an ibuprofen system. We have an endocannabinoid system. Our bodies make cannabinoids. We replace them. So we replace them with food, just like we replace vitamins and minerals and all the other things our bodies need to move and to function properly. And people need to stop thinking of it as a drug and start thinking of it as a food source.
We have a customer out here who's a chemist. He runs a nutrition store, mm-hmm. and he was one of our first customers, and we sat down, had lunch with him, and he said, "All these drugs they're coming out with, imagine having a garden, and you're going in there and you're just spraying the whole garden with poison, to kill one weed."
Right.
And CBD kind of acts as in your body. It acts to go. It goes in there and trims that garden.
Right. You don't need a flamethrower for weeds.
Mm-hmm.
You pull them by hand very carefully and leave everything else intact, so that the rest of it can grow and thrive. That's a great analogy. Well, we're getting ready to be done with our show tonight, and I just want to thank you so much for being willing to do the show. Thank you for everything that you do for Cannabama and for our community through Angie's House. I know that Danny and Danielle and all of the girls are hoping that they'll have an opportunity to tell you themselves, and we appreciate you because you are helping us to be a vessel for something that is very near and dear to my heart as a fellow person in recovery. So I appreciate you. I appreciate how you take care of us when we need something, even if it's the last minute. You always come through, and I appreciate that. And I look forward to whatever comes in the future, being partners in that.
Well, we right back at you. I mean, we can't thank you enough for allowing us into your stores and for promoting us and for just being there with feedback. And I have to take just a second. I may be the de facto face of this company, but I couldn't run this. I don't run it by myself. I have three business partners. We have some great people that work here, some fantastic people that keep the wheels turning. So I'd like to thank you all, the Curative team, for what you do. And now that's out there on the radio waves as well. But
you guys have a great team. You're very efficient, and you're always there for us. You can find Ryan's products, Curative CBD products, gummies, tinctures, bath bombs, all sorts of products in both Cannabama stores and on our website, cannabama.com. Come see us in the stores. Thank you, Ryan. We'll see you guys right here next week.